Hey everyone, welcome back. We're diving into something pretty awesome today, the power of thinking big. We're going to explore how it can not only boost your own life, but also make a real difference right here in our community.
It's interesting how we often hear think globally, you know, but real change often starts much closer to home, wouldn't you say?
Totally. And that's where our Think and Act Locally mission comes in. We'll be using the book, The Magic of Thinking Big, as our guide today, unpacking its wisdom and seeing how we can use it to make our community even better. By the way, if you find our deep dives valuable, we'd really appreciate your support. You can find a donation link on our website, https.thinkandactlocally.com/donate. It's in the show notes too.
It's amazing how seemingly simple ideas, when put into practice, can have such a ripple effect, right?
Exactly. Now, the book really emphasizes this idea that believing in yourself is the foundation of any kind of achievement. It tells this story about Harry, a salesman who earned 5 times the average, not because he was some sales genius, but because he truly believed he could do it. It wasn't about working harder or being smarter. It was about belief. What's your take on that?
It's a powerful example of how our mindset shapes our reality. The book calls this excusitis. It's like a disease we can catch, where we come up with all sorts of reasons why we can't succeed. We blame our health, our age, our lack of resources, anything but ourselves.
Oh, I know that one all too well.
Yeah.
But the book doesn't just point out the problem, right? It offers solutions too. Like that story about the entrepreneur who built a successful business, even though he barely finished high school. Imagine having that kind of grit. What do you think was the key to his success?
It seems like he refused to let his background define his potential. Instead of seeing limitations, he saw possibilities. And that shift in perspective is crucial. Instead of dwelling on what we lack, we can choose to focus on what we have and how we can use it to our advantage.
That's such a great point. So how can we, the listeners, start to cultivate that kind of unshakable belief in ourselves?
The book offers some practical tools, like managing what it calls our memory bank. Think of it as a mental vault where we store our thoughts and experiences. We can choose to focus on the positive, empowering ones, or we can keep replaying the negative, limiting ones.
You mean like choosing to withdraw confidence-boosting memories instead of self-doubt?
Right.
But how do we actually do that? It sounds kind of abstract.
It's more about being mindful of our self-talk and making a conscious effort to shift our focus. One technique the book suggests is acting confident even if you don't feel it at first. Stand tall, smile, make eye contact. These actions can actually trick your brain into feeling more confident.
So it's like, fake it till you make it for confidence. I like that. And speaking of self-talk, the book also talks about the power of positive affirmations. It's like rewiring our brains to believe in ourselves, right?
Exactly. It's about replacing those negative thoughts with positive, empowering ones. It might feel silly at first, but over time, it can have a real impact on our beliefs and behaviors.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've talked about believing in ourselves and building confidence, but how do we actually put this thinking big into action, especially when it comes to making a difference in our community?
One powerful technique the book suggests is using bigger, more positive language. It's about reframing challenges and creating a more positive mental image. For example, instead of saying problem, try saying challenge. Instead of expense, try saying investment. Instead of failed, try saying new approach.
It's about seeing the glass half full, even when things get tough.
Exactly. And it's not just about feeling better. It's about empowering ourselves to take action. The book shares this great story about a salesman who was trying to sell a rundown farm. Instead of focusing on the negatives, he helped potential buyers visualize the farm's potential by creating detailed plans for a riding stable, a tree farm, even a tree and poultry farm. It helped them see the possibilities, and it made all the difference.
That's brilliant. He wasn't just selling a property. He was selling a vision. And that's something we can all do right. Think big about what our community could be, and then take steps to make that vision a reality.
Absolutely. It's about using our imagination and our energy to create something positive and lasting, something that benefits everyone. And speaking of benefiting everyone, the magic of thinking big doesn't just focus on personal success. It also emphasizes the importance of our relationships and how we interact with others.
That makes sense. After all, we're not just individuals, we're part of a community. And building strong relationships is essential for any kind of collective success.
Precisely. And the book highlights something really interesting, likability. It argues that being likable is even more important for success than technical skills.
Wait, hold on. You're not saying we should just try to be popular, right?
Right.
What exactly does being likable mean in this context?
It's not about being a people pleaser or trying to win a popularity contest. It's about building genuine connections and fostering a sense of trust and goodwill. The book even debunks this myth of buying friendship with this story about a trucking company president who actually resented receiving an unsolicited gift from a supplier. It felt manipulative and it backfired.
So it's not about flashy gestures, it's about genuine connection. How can we apply this to our think and act locally mindset?
It starts with simple things. Being proactive about making friends and building relationships within our community. Introducing yourself to new people. Remembering names. Following up with a kind word. These small actions can go a long way in creating a more welcoming and supportive environment.
I love that. It's about those small acts of kindness that build up over time. But what about those relationships we already have? How can we make those even stronger?
The book has some great tips for that too. It all starts with choosing to focus on the positive qualities in others. Everyone has flaws, of course. But making a conscious effort to see the good in people can transform our interactions and strengthen our bonds.
It's like that saying, be the change you wish to see in the world. But instead of the world, it's our community.
Exactly. And another powerful technique is something the book calls conversation generosity. It's about being a good listener, truly engaging with what others have to say. Most people love to talk about themselves, so asking questions and genuinely listening makes them feel valued and appreciated. Plus, it makes us better listeners, which is crucial for building a strong community.
That makes so much sense. And it reminds me of another point the book emphasizes, giving sincere praise and appreciation. We all crave recognition, and acknowledging the good work of others, even in small ways, can create a ripple effect of positivity.
It's about building a culture of appreciation rather than criticism. We can make our community a more encouraging and supportive place by simply recognizing and celebrating the good we see in others. And finally, the book highlights the importance of putting service first. Whether we're interacting with customers, colleagues, or lovers, focusing on how we can help others is a surefire way to build trust and strengthen relationships.
It's like the old saying, you can get everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. And that's at the heart of Think and Act Locally, right? It's about using our energy and talents to make our community a better place for everyone.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our individual well-being is intertwined with the well-being of our community. When we help others, we ultimately help ourselves. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about another key aspect of the magic of thinking big, which is managing our environment to support our success. This is especially important when it comes to thinking and acting locally.
Because we're not islands, right? Our surroundings and the people we spend time with can have a huge impact on our mindset and our ability to achieve our goals.
Absolutely. The book talks about being environment conscious, which means paying attention to the people, places, and things that we surround ourselves with. It's like our mind is constantly absorbing information from our environment, and we need to be mindful of what we're feeding it.
It's like choosing healthy food for our minds, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of mental diet should we be aiming for?
One of the most important things is to surround ourselves with positive, supportive people. The book calls out the danger of small-thinking people, those who are negative, cynical, and constantly pulling us down with their pessimism. They can be real energy vampires.
Oh, I know those types. They can really drain your enthusiasm.
Right. And the book suggests that we actively seek out relationships with people who are positive, forward-thinking, and genuinely interested in our success. It's about finding those mentors and role models who inspire us to be our best selves and contribute to our community in meaningful ways.
It's like surrounding ourselves with a cheerleading squad for our dreams and our community, right? Yeah. But it's not just about finding those people. It's also about being that kind of person for others.
Exactly. We can all be sources of positive energy and support within our community. It's about offering encouragement, sharing ideas, and celebrating each other's successes. And it's also about seeking advice from those who have already achieved what we aspire to. The book reminds us that successful people are often surprisingly accessible and willing to share their wisdom. We just need to be proactive about seeking them out and asking for their guidance.
So it's about learning from those who have walked the path before us, especially those who are making a positive impact in our community. What about our physical environment? Does that play a role in our Think and Act Locally journey?
Absolutely. The book suggests that we create an environment that is conducive to our success, both personally and in terms of our community involvement. This could mean having a dedicated workspace for our Think and Act Locally projects, minimizing distractions, surrounding ourselves with things that inspire us, or simply keeping our surroundings clean and organized.
It's about setting the stage for success right, creating a space that energizes us and encourages us to take action.
Precisely. And don't forget about the importance of psychological sunshine. The book encourages us to seek out experiences that uplift and energize us, things that bring us joy and remind us why we're passionate about making a difference in our community. This could be anything from spending time in nature to volunteering at a local charity to simply connecting with friends and neighbors who share our vision.
It's about taking care of our mental and emotional well-being so that we have the energy and enthusiasm to keep going,
right,
even when things get challenging.
Exactly. Now, just as important as cultivating a positive environment is protecting ourselves from what the book calls thought poison. This includes negativity, gossip, and criticism, things that can contaminate our thinking and drain our energy.
Ugh, those things can be so toxic. It's like they seep into our minds and sabotage our efforts to make a difference.
Right. And the book emphasizes the importance of being mindful of the conversations we engage in. Instead of gossiping about others or focusing on the negative, we should strive to have conversations that are uplifting, inspiring, and focused on solutions. We can choose to be part of the solution, not the problem.
It's about creating a culture of positivity and possibility within our community.
Right.
And that includes being mindful of the information we consume.
Absolutely. The book suggests that we be selective about the books we read, the shows we watch, and the news we follow. It's easy to get bombarded with negativity, especially in today's world. We need to be proactive about curating our information diet and focusing on sources that inspire us, inform us, and empower us to take action.
It's about feeding our minds with the kind of information that nourishes our think and act locally spirit. And finally, the book encourages us to go first class in everything we do. What does that mean in the context of making a difference in our community?
It doesn't necessarily mean spending a lot of money. It's about having high standards for ourselves and the things we create. It's about valuing quality over quantity and striving for excellence in everything we do, whether it's organizing a neighborhood cleanup, volunteering at a local school, or simply being a good neighbor.
It's about bringing our best selves to our Think and Act Locally efforts.
Exactly. It's about showing up with enthusiasm, integrity, and a genuine desire to make a positive impact. And when we do that, we inspire others to do the same.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about believing in ourselves, building positive relationships, managing our environment, and even going first class.
Mm.
But how does all of this connect back to the idea of thinking big for a better life, A to B, a better community? How can we, the listeners, start to apply these ideas in practical ways?
It's fascinating how these principles work together, wouldn't you say? When we believe in ourselves, we're more likely to take action. When we cultivate a supportive environment, we create the conditions for success. And when we think big, we inspire others to do the same. It creates this ripple effect of positive change that can transform our community.
It's like that saying, a rising tide lifts all boats. But instead of a tide, it's our collective positive energy. Okay, I'm ready for the actionable stuff. How can we as listeners start putting these think big, act local ideas into practice, like today?
Well, the book really hammers home the importance of action. It's called The Magic of Thinking Big. But thinking alone isn't enough. We need to cultivate what it calls the action habit. That means being proactive, taking initiative, and not letting fear or uncertainty hold us back.
You know, it's funny. We often think we need to wait for the perfect moment to act, but maybe that moment never really comes. There are always going to be obstacles.
Yeah.
That's so true. The Magic of Thinking Big gives this example of a young man who wanted to buy a new home for his family. He could have easily talked himself out of it, but he made a plan and found creative ways to make it happen. He didn't let fear paralyze him. He took action.
That's inspiring. It shows that we don't have to have all the answers before we start. Sometimes we just need to take that first step and trust that the path will unfold as we go.
Exactly. And the book reminds us that setbacks are inevitable. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to encounter obstacles. But that's okay. Failure is not the opposite of success. It's part of the process.
So how do we deal with those inevitable setbacks in a way that keeps our think big, act local energy going?
One powerful technique is reframing our perspective on failure. Instead of seeing it as a negative, we can choose to see it as an opportunity for growth. The book talks about salvaging something from every setback, which means analyzing what went wrong, identifying the lessons learned, and using those lessons to improve our future efforts.
So it's not about dwelling on the negative. It's about learning from our experiences and using those lessons to fuel our next Think and Act Locally project. What are some concrete things our listeners can do right here in our community to put all of this into action?
Well, the book encourages us to think big even when we're acting locally. So start by identifying a need in our community, something you're passionate about, and then brainstorm ways to address that need. It could be anything from volunteering at a local organization to organizing a community event to starting a neighborhood initiative.
And we don't have to wait for someone else to lead, right?
Yeah.
We can each be leaders in our own way.
Absolutely. The book reminds us that every act of kindness, every effort to improve our surroundings, every attempt to connect with our neighbors, these are all forms of leadership. And when we come together with a shared purpose and a positive attitude, we can create a ripple effect of positive change that benefits everyone.
This has been such an inspiring deep dive. So as we wrap things up, here's a thought-provoking question for our listeners to ponder. What's one big goal you can set for yourself this week? Something that aligns with the Think Big, Act Local spirit. And remember, even small actions can make a difference.
Every act of kindness, every effort to improve our surroundings, every attempt to bridge divides, all of these things contribute to a better life for ourselves and a better world for everyone.
And if you found this deep dive valuable and want to support our Think and Act Locally mission, please consider making a donation through our website, https.thinkandactlocally.com. Donate. The link is in the show notes. Thanks for listening.